Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Get a Bible, get a notepad, get a pen, and I want you to take good notes, and I want you to study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what the Word says for all of us that believe in Jesus Christ to do so. The Bible teaches us that we are supposed to test every spirit to see whether it be of God. And I want to encourage you to test the spirit of this message that I'm about to minister to you. And the way you test it, as I've taught in the past, is by 1 John 2:27, St. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. The Bible said, "The anointing that you've received abideth in you, and you need not that any man should teach you," which simply means you are not just dependent upon man. You're not dependent upon myself. You're not dependent upon any other preacher. Even though God gave five category of preachers, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but he didn't just leave you dependent upon us. So I want you to listen to the Holy Ghost, which is the unction that is within you if you're saved. Amen. Because if you're saved, you have an unction deep down within you. Glory to God. And I want you to allow the Holy Ghost to take you further in the scripture. According to St. John 16, verse 13 and 14, the Bible said, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." St. John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible said, "Thy word is truth." So I'm getting ready to teach today. I want you to verify everything by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Scriptures. Glory to God. Today I want to minister on the topic doctrine. And for a subtopic, I want to use correct doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine floating around in the body of Christ, and it's been floating around for a long time. Some of it is good, some of it is bad. And we need to know that we're believing correctly. What you believe about this Bible and about Jesus Christ can and will determine your eternal destiny. Therefore, we need to make sure the things that we are believing and the things that we've been taught is correct according to the Bible and can be proven by the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The scripture is clear that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. The Bible interprets itself. We need the Word of God to interpret itself according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. You're not dependent upon anybody's interpretation of the scripture. You shouldn't be dependent upon your denomination interpretation of the scripture. You shouldn't be dependent upon your church, your pastor, or no one. You should let the scripture interpret the scripture. And if your pastor or if your denomination or your church have taught you correctly, then the scripture ought to be able to back it up. And if the scripture don't back it up, then guess what? You have been taught wrong, and you need to discard the wrong teachings out of your life, because again, what you believe about this Bible and about Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destiny. So therefore, we're going to teach and minister from the topic doctrine, and for a subtopic, correct doctrine. Now, I want to use as a foundation text 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, and I want you to listen to it and listen to it closely, because the Apostle Paul is saying something to Timothy in this book, and ultimately he's talking to all of us, and we need to take heed to what the Spirit is saying to Timothy as well as to us, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "Whatsoever things was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So we know what is written back then is also written for us, and all books of the Bible belong to us today. I know there are ministers teaching that certain books don't apply to us today, but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus talking, he said, "Man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." We know this Bible to be the inspired word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this Bible is good for us today, every bit of it, from Genesis to Revelation. So don't let anyone take your reward by trying to exclude certain books or certain truths from this holy document. No, all of it belong to us. To God be the glory. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. I want you to listen to it closely, and it's always good for you to go back and verify what's being said and what you are learning. Here's what the Bible said. It says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. If you want to be saved now, and you want to be saved at the judgment seat of Christ when you die, then you need to accept Jesus Christ and be born again, because when you truly accept him, you will be born again. But you need to walk in the truth. You need to govern yourselves according to the word of God, and you have to walk in truth all the way to the end of your faith, and you'll be saved now. And you'll be saved then, because I'm going to show you in this teaching that you can give your life to Jesus. You can literally be born again, and you can get in error and walk in a lie, and you can lose your soul behind a lie and false teaching. False teaching will take you off course. And I need to show you that in the Bible, because there's a lot of people started out right, but they have ended up wrong. And you can't die wrong and wake up on the other side right. The Bible says in the last book of the Bible in Revelation, in the last chapter, it says, when I come, let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. Glory to God. So however you die is how you will stay throughout all eternity. So today we want to deal with doctrine. And for a subtopic, we're dealing with correct doctrine. There's a few scriptures I want to take you through today. And I want to lay a good foundation in the word of God. And I want you to follow along and hear what I have to say. Amen. And I need you to judge it. Glory to God. The Bible said we're supposed to test everything. So I want you to listen to the scriptures, search them for yourself. Jesus said in St. John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Amen. If I am wrong about something, I want to know that I'm wrong so that I can get that wrong and correct it. Glory to God. And if you are believing something that is not true, you ought to want to make sure you know about it and correct it. Amen. I know people are very adamant about what they believe. And I know people, when they believe certain things and certain teachings and doctrines, that they almost want to fight you over their doctrine. But guess what? If your doctrine is wrong and the scripture don't back it up, we need to check it out and repent. Glory to God, and correct our ways, because Satan knows that if you've been taught wrong and you're believing wrong, he knows that you can lose your soul. So therefore, demons will inspire false teaching. Amen. And then usually when you talk to someone about their doctrine, you'll notice that they'll get all angry and get mad and upset. Why? Because demons are behind certain teaching. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Devils are involved when it comes down to teaching. And there's a lot of things that many saints have been taught, and demons have inspired those teaching, and therefore they are very strong and are defensive of those doctrines. And if you find yourself getting mad all the time about when you are challenged about what you believe, then it could be a demonic spirit behind that teaching. The Bible says in the book of James that any teaching and wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits. Anytime God is teaching you, amen, it teaches you how to be humble. Amen. How to accept the truth and embrace the truth, but it keeps you open to more truth. The doctrine of God causes you to have a heart of submission to where you are here. Bible said, take heed what you hear. We don't mind listening and we don't mind evaluating, because the Bible told us to. Because there, whenever we learn something, that don't mean we've learned everything there is to know about that particular thing that we've learned. So therefore, when you really receive a teaching from the Lord, it leaves you to where you're peaceable and pure and easy to be entreated. But if you're the type of person, you cannot be entreated, you won't allow anyone to talk to you or challenge you. And if you get mad and get frustrated at some of the things you believe, usually there's a demon behind that. Amen. So let's make sure we are searching these scriptures and make sure we're taught correctly. Because this verse here says, again, it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them. And if you do this, you'll save yourself and them that hear you. So we're going to go through a few scriptures today to see exactly what Paul was talking about when he gave Timothy this instruction. I want you to look with me in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 37, because most of the time when we're getting people saved, we use these verses, and these are good verses when we're dealing with salvation. But now salvation is a life. Salvation is not just an encounter or an event. Salvation is an encounter with Jesus Christ, but it's a day-by-day walk all the way to the end of your faith, according to 1 Peter 1:9. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews chapter 12. So he authored it, but he's going to finish it. So salvation is a start and a finish, not just a start. Amen. And salvation going to take us all the way into glory. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37, and we'll go down to verse 39. And I want to show you something. The Bible says, now when they had heard this, they was pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Glory to God. Now, usually when we teach in salvation, we teach these scriptures here and we tell people you need to repent, you need to be baptized, you need to receive the promise, which is the Holy Spirit, and every bit of that is true. But salvation don't stop at verse 39. I'm going to go on and read a few more verses to show you that Peter kept on talking regarding answering the question, what shall we do? So many times in many religions stop right at verse 39, and they'll tell you that's the sum total of salvation. But that's not what the apostles taught. That's not what the scripture teach. The scripture teach that this is just the door. This is just the beginning. But let's go on and keep reading, and let's look at verse 40. And it's going to match and make sense now what Paul told Timothy when we finish reading these verses. Okay, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now keep in mind, Peter had preached the gospel. The people that heard the gospel was pricked in their hearts, because some of those people, if not all of them, were partakers in killing the Lord Jesus Christ, crucifying him on the cross. And now he has come alive. He's alive from the dead, and he's ascended back to the Father. And now the apostles have received the power of the Holy Ghost, and now signs and wonders are following the preaching of the gospel. And all of a sudden, Peter is saying, you have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now these people are pricked in their heart, and they want to know, hey, what can we do now? What should we do? What can we do to be saved? We'll get a chance, and I'll show you where Paul had the same encounter with a jailer in Acts chapter 16. The man fell down before Paul and Silas, and he asked the same question. What must I do to be saved? And I know these men wanted to be saved naturally, but the apostles knew that they not only needed to be saved naturally and spared naturally, but they needed to be saved spiritually. So they went on to tell them exactly what they needed to do. Again, it was a question asked, what shall we do? And Peter, in verse 37 through verse 39, began to tell them the basics. And I need you to know that these are just the basics: being baptized, repenting, receiving the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, receiving the power of God. All of those are just the basics. That is not the sum total of salvation. Again, look at verse 40. Peter kept on talking regarding answering the question, what must I do to be saved? Again, verse 40 says, and with many other words, Peter had many other words to say other than verse 37 through 39. But most religions and most people stop at verse 39 and say that's all it is. But Peter went on talking with many other words. Did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation? Now, he just told them how to be saved and basically how to stay saved, because he turned right back around and said, now you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that we can't save ourselves. But Peter made the statement, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That was some further instruction that Peter gave to those people who had accepted Jesus Christ, received the Holy Spirit, Peter said, now save yourselves from this untoward generation. And we're going to go on to the scripture to make clear what Peter meant, because we know you can't get on the cross and die for your own sins and save yourself. So what in the world is Peter talking about? What in the world is Paul talking about when he said, if you continue in this, you'll save yourself and them that hear you? I believe we need to go on and investigate salvation and how the Bible really teaches it. So let's keep reading. Look at verse 41. Verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, a key verse. And they continued. Notice how they came into the church. They came into the teachings of these men of God. And the Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. These people that got saved came into church and were taught the apostles' doctrine. Now, when we talk about the apostles' doctrine, we are talking about these founding apostles, these 12 men that Jesus chose. Of course, one of them the apostles chose when Judas defaulted. But we're talking about these 12 men, along with the apostle Paul, who was chosen by God later on to the road to Damascus, on the road to Damascus. These men established what is called the apostles' doctrine. Amen. The apostles' doctrine is the word of God. It is the teaching of God. At this particular time, nobody else knew God but these apostles. And the Bible said they were the ones who got the message from God, and they wrote the scriptures, and their teaching is the teaching that all saints have to walk in after you get saved. Amen. You cannot come into the kingdom, give your heart to Jesus, and be born again and walk contrary to the apostles' doctrine and be saved. It's impossible. The scripture tells you plainly, and we're in this teaching, we're going to show you that it's important that you walk in the apostles' doctrine. Now, we are not talking about modern day apostles. We still do have the office of apostles in the church, because the Bible says, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, all the way to verse 16, you'll find that he gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the perfecting of the saints. And the Bible says clearly that they will be in the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and to all of us come to the unity of the faith. Now, we know the church still needs some perfecting. We know the church still needs to come to the unity of the faith. Amen. To one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And the Bible said these five offices will remain in the body till that time. So we know that the church is still somewhat divided. We know that the church still needs some perfecting. So according to the scripture, all five of these offices still remain in the church. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, that he set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. That is the order of the gifts. And I might add that we need to be inside of that proper order. God is a God of order. Now, if we are out of order, then guess what? You can't get everything you need from God. We have to be inside of that divine order that God set in the church, especially if we expect to grow up and become everything that God wants us to be. And if you're lacking in growing in grace and becoming just like Jesus Christ, it could be that you're outside of divine order. Amen. So we'll teach that on another lesson. But I want to encourage you that the apostles' office still remain in the church. As long as there is still a church, you still have the office of apostle. Now, the office of the apostle, there are certain signs and biblical signs and wonders that follow that office. But one of the main things they do is open up the mystery of the gospel. The apostle and prophet, according to Ephesians chapter 3, read from verse 1 all the way down to probably verse 6. And it specifically tell you that those two offices are mainly responsible for opening up the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. There are some things you won't understand if you don't have a true biblical New Testament apostle and prophet. They also are the ones, according to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, all the way down to the last verse, it says that the household of God is built upon that of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Without those two offices and without that proper order, a church can't grow completely in holiness and come to full perfection. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not my teaching. That's not what I say. That's what the scriptures say. But nevertheless, we are not necessarily teaching on that, but we feel the leading of the Holy Spirit to impart that as we are teaching, because that's part of the doctrine of the scriptures. And we need to know correct doctrines. Glory to God. But anyway, my point in all of this is, even though we still have the office of the apostle in the church, we have no more founding apostles like these guys that wrote the scriptures. So when we teach concerning the apostles' doctrine, we're talking about these apostles that set the scriptures, the canon of scripture. Glory to God. The Bible says that these apostles was made able ministers of the New Testament. They were the ones that set the New Testament and gave the revelation of the Word of God, using all the words of Jesus and the truth of God from the old, using all the truth of God from the old covenant. Amen. Because there's still truth in the old covenant, not the laws and the rituals and the offering of bulls and goats, but the truth. Amen. There was still truth in that old covenant that they brought and established the new covenant. These apostles established the mind and the heart of God. Now, if you are going to be successful as a Christian, you need to come into church and you need to learn the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Most people have learned the doctrine of men. Most people have learned the doctrine of their church or their denomination. And a lot of those doctrines don't even agree with the scripture. And there are a lot of Christians who are very adamant and very strong and very argumentative about certain things and certain doctrines. And these doctrines, you can't find them nowhere in the scriptures, some of them. Amen. So that's why we're teaching on doctrine. And a subtopic is correct doctrine. And if you're going to have correct doctrine, everything in this book has to match. Amen. And the Bible says in the book of Jude that we are to remember the words of the apostles, talking about these apostles that God used to write the scriptures. Amen. So I want you to make sure you understand what I'm talking about. Now, let's go ahead and keep reading. And keep in mind, Peter said that those believers came into church and continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Now, Jesus said in St. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he said to those Jews, and ultimately all believers who believed on him, he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, why did Jesus say continue in my words? Because he knew you had to continue in what he taught if you want to be saved. Glory to God. We'll get to it at a later date, but I want you to go and read St. John 14 and verse 6, read St. John 12, verse 46, and I also want you to read all the way down to verse 50. Glory to God. Read St. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Read Matthew 7, verse 21 through 24. And all these scriptures simply say Jesus declared, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And he said that the words that I speak, these are the words that the Father gave me to speak. And he said, "Now, if you don't believe in the things that I say, then these same words are going to judge you in the last day." So if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to make a practice of obeying the words of Jesus. Amen. And the words of the apostles of Jesus, talking about the apostles who wrote the scripture. This is what we are talking about. By correct doctrine. And the way you know you have correct doctrine is everything in the Bible matches. If I teach a lesson, if I teach a doctrine, or say I got a word from God, and you can find a scripture that will refute that doctrine, refute that word, then guess what? My doctrine is wrong, because there is nothing wrong in this Bible. Everything in this Bible fit perfectly from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible teaches that when we teach a doctrine, we got to teach it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Everything in the Bible has to match. All the parables, all the allegories, all the types, the shadows, all the epistles, Amen. Everything in the Bible match. Now, if apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher come along teaching something and it don't match with the apostle's doctrine, guess what? Amen. Red flag. Something is wrong. That's a false doctrine. Amen. And it may be a doctrine of men. And I want you to know that whenever you have doctrines of men, usually you have doctrines of demons, because demons are behind certain doctrines. That's why many people get upset and quickly angered, because when they have a doctrine that a demon is inspired, you easily get mad. You easily get angry when somebody challenges your doctrine. But guess what? If you have the truth, truth will stand on its own two feet. All truth is parallel. Truth can defend itself. That's why the Bible says any wisdom and any truth that come from above is first of all pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits. Glory to God. So if your doctrine is correct, there's no need to get upset. There's no need to get angry. Glory to God, out of character. Because if your doctrine is right, this Bible gonna back it up. But if it's not right, then this Bible gonna challenge that doctrine. Glory to God. So let's continue as we get ready to come to a close today. I want you to look at Acts 16, verse 29 through 32. We'll take it up the next time in the lesson, where Paul also answered this jailer, because this jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? Paul told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They baptized him, but the Bible said Paul began to give him many other words. So there's more to it than just getting a person to believe in Jesus, getting them baptized, letting them receive the Holy Ghost. Is more to it. Glory to God. And that's what Timothy was talking about. And I'm going to read that again just before we close. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 16, and it's going to match with what Peter said. Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation, Acts 2 and verse 40. How do you save yourself after you've been saved? Here's how you do it. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, which is correct teaching of the word of God, hallelujah, and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In other words, you have to continue in the teachings of Jesus. Amen. The words that he taught, the words that he taught to his apostles. And that's called the Bible. You have to give your life to Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you have to continue in the word of God. I want you to look at James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20, and look at 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. These verses prove that if you give your life to Jesus and you don't continue in correct teaching, the correct teaching of the word of God, you can still lose your soul. Go check it out. James 5, verse 19 through 20. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. We'll go further in this teaching, and I want to encourage you, save yourselves from this untoward generation. How do you save yourself? By taking heed to the word of God after you've given your life to Jesus. That's what Paul meant when he said in Philippians 2, verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God bless you. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. If you like the writers, you can do so at Post Office Box 64598, Baton Rouge, Louisiana 70896. If you want to call us, you can call us at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. For other free teaching, we would like to refer you to our webpage, www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you, we thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus.